I decided to want to go out for the team because that fall, winter, I believe my uncle was murdered. And that was like a connection for me to deal with how I was feeling, because I never was able to talk about it. Life was still happening. It never slowed down for people to ask, how am I feeling? I do remember, like, that was the first death that I ever experienced. And it wasn't just like a person passed away. He was murdered.
Like, I do feel like that's
a murder. And then it wasn't just a murder. He was found in a trunk in Philly. It was a murder. And it's like, that's my uncle. I see my uncle a certain way. So to see that happen to him, it was just like, hold on. It took all the innocence from me. And it started a downhill spiral internally, because you're suppressing how you're feeling because you can't, you know, it's no outlet.
Welcome to the Grief Bully Podcast. I am your host, Jay Nicole. Thank you for joining our weekly discussion around grief, mental health, and your overall personal wellness. The Grief Bully Podcast will serve as a vehicle to help you navigate life's journey. Be sure to subscribe, review, and share the podcast with anyone in your life that you think it will help. Let's bully grief together.
What's up? What's up? What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to another episode of the Grief Bully Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Nicole. Guys, we're back in the building, rocking and rolling for another episode, and I'm not by myself today. I do have a phenomenal guest, someone that I've known since I was a teenager. Phenomenal basketball player, heck of an athlete, even better person, designer. I mean, so many things. We can go on and on, but I got my friend in the building today, Alan Pritchett, AP, Coach A1. What's up?
What's up, Mama? How you doing?
I am doing very well. I'm happy to have you here.
Yes, yes. We've talked about this for a while. I'm glad to finally be able to
sit down and do it, right? I mean, listen, like, this man is running South Jersey basketball. They're traveling everywhere. He's got 8 different teams going on. He's doing his programs. I mean, for me to get him here,
stop.
It's a big deal.
Stop it.
I should get your autograph.
No, you shouldn't. I should have yours. Stop.
Cut it out. So we've known each other. We actually ended up being in college the same time as well, but I've known him when he was in high school playing basketball, likewise. And so just to speed things up, having the podcast, and it's so funny that I keep having conversations with men of color. It just is like, you would think that when I wrote out the forecast for the show that it would be like, I'm going to sit across from as many men as I possibly can and talk to them about their pain, their trauma, their life growing up, but it just happened that way organically, and I'm just going with it.
Yeah.
So we talked about the importance of the show, the grief and all that, and then when you talked about how that can intertwine with basketball and just like how you had so much grief as it pertains to it during it and just all of that, I was like, that's actually a really good perspective and something we haven't really talked about.
Right.
So first, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm actually in a space of gratitude, honestly. Like, just knowing the journey of who I am and the things I experienced and what it took to just get here, you have to be grateful for it. So just in a space of gratitude, that's it.
Space of gratitude is a good place to be in. I think it keeps us present, obviously, and then it allows us to not really have that, I won't say like comparison, but when you're just like grateful for where you are in the journey. So anytime someone says they've had a journey into where they've gotten to, we'll get into the deep parts, I guess, about the grief and all of that. But what's the first thing that's coming to mind with that when you talk about the journey of where you were and just like where you are today as a man?
I didn't ask for this. Literally, like, it's still kind of surreal to why God chose me to be who I am and understanding the purpose behind it. So that's always on my mind. It's like, I tried to run from this, literally. I asked, why me? I had several opportunities to do other things in life, and here I am. So for me, it's just like, you got to submit. And once God calls you to do something, you have to submit. And once you obey, you will see the fruits of the labor, and you'll understand the meaning behind it so much more.
What does that mean, like, who you are, like, today? Like, what does that mean?
What I mean by that is understanding that you're a vessel, and understanding that through your gifts, through your talents, through your testimonies, through whatever information you can provide for the next, you're here to be a blessing for the next person. And it took time to be able to articulate that, speak it correctly, give it in a tone and a manner that's receptive, and allow God to do what he's asking you to do. Like, that's a journey in its own. So
what have you discovered is kind of like your purpose, or what do you believe that God called you to do?
The purpose is really just to coach, right? And coaching is being able to You don't just coach a sport. You coach people too. Everyone's dealing with something. Everyone's trying to overcome something. Everyone's trying to learn something. So if you're a person of resources and you're a person who understands and can relate, like the biggest part is being relatable. You know, every walk of life, I feel I can relate to. I can understand, or I can be empathetic to and sympathetic to. And that's a big burden, I would say, to know, like, I'm being used by God to be this person. And it's not always fun. It's not always pleasurable. But once you understand, again, the purpose is so much more bigger than you, you just go with it. And here you are.
Thank you for sharing that. Does it make a lot more sense now, seeing like where you are and the role you are as far as like being a coach, and then having that responsibility to, again, you're not only leading young people, but you're also intertwined with their families and like what they're going on. Mm-hmm. So you're a big part of it. But just like some of the things that you may have gone through in your life as a young guy, like growing up to now, did you ever have that moment where it's like, okay, not only do I feel like this is my purpose, but it's all making sense? Because sometimes our purpose doesn't make sense to us. It's like, oh, I feel like this is what I'm called to, but it doesn't really line up. But you can look back and be like, okay, young Alan, this, and this. So it makes more sense now.
It does. You have to be able to come out of it, and you're given a clearer vision once, again, you just submit to whatever God, you can feel it. It's a feeling. It's something that's like, no, everywhere you go, it always leads you back to that. I remember being in college when I was coaching in college, when I was at Lincoln, and I was talking to other friends who coach in college, and I'm like, I don't feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. This doesn't feel, you don't feel the connection, right? Like, I ideally, professionally, yeah, you want to grow and you want to get to the ranks of being a head coach potentially, but somehow I'm supposed to be working with the youth and understanding what society is doing today and understanding what these children are battling today. My whole life story and journey makes perfect sense to why God called me to be who I am.
Yeah, listen, let's get into that. Actually, I saw a post of yours, since you're pretty transparent, and actually I saw a post where you talked about, you know, like spiritual warfare being real. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, so he posted that today. I'm going to have the opportunity to chat with him whenever you watch this. I don't know when this would have been, but the whole point of it is that, like, I don't think a lot of people really know what that means, unless you've maybe experienced it. What were you trying to communicate?
I was raised in the church. I grew up in the church. I've always had this thing where those walls are protecting you from whatever's going on outside of it. But just like any child, any person, I was like, what am I not experiencing? And that spiritual warfare starts with that, right? The enemy wants to trick you out of your spot. The enemy wants you to be distracted from what God is calling you to be. And that's the spiritual warfare that I'm describing. It's like, you know, right from wrong, but something else is like, let me get my own experiences so I can really speak on it. I never wanted to be a person that spoke with no substance. So the fact that I was given the opportunity by God to even still walk away, experience certain walks of life, to know, okay, that's the spiritual warfare that I'm describing.
So just like being able to balance, staying on your path and knowing that, like, certain temptations, not necessarily mean anything bad, just even just to walk away from what you feel you were called to do, can also be like a part of that push and pull.
Yeah.
So let's kind of go back then now, because again, when I knew you, or I think our moms worked together, I just kind of knew that you were like this basketball player that was really good. It was Woodbury.
I went to Woodbury.
Woodbury at the time. And I was in high school at Haddon Heights, and I just knew we're kind of in that age bracket. Then we got to college. You were playing at Rowan. Mm-hmm. I was there as well. Mm-hmm. And just kind of being able to see that evolution of so many different things that you've done. But let's go back to the young guy when you first starting to play basketball, and then you had some tragedy that kind of happened around that time, and just where that relationship started with basketball.
So growing up in sports, I played every sport pretty much. I was a better football player in my younger days. However, I started playing basketball, organized basketball, in fifth grade. I went out for the middle school team. I was only in fifth grade, and I went out for the middle school team, made the team. But I decided to want to go out for the team because that fall, winter, I believe, my uncle was murdered. And that was like a connection for me to deal with how I was feeling, because I never was able to talk about it. Life was still happening. It never slowed down for people to ask, how am I feeling? I do remember, like, that was the first death that I ever experience. And it wasn't just like a person passed away. He was murdered.
Like, I do feel like that's a
murder. That's a, that, and then it was like, wasn't just a murder. He was found in a trunk in Philly. It was like, it was a murder. And it's like, that's my uncle. I see my uncle a certain way. So to see that happen to him, it was just like, hold on. It took all the innocence from me. And it started a downhill spiral internally, because you're suppressing how you're feeling because you can't, you know, it's no outlet. So if you remember me, I was a very angry, aggressive basketball player. There, you see me in action,
he
right?
Said it, yeah, I did yeah, yeah. Say
you
see,
you. I'll be honest.
I did like, watch it. Yes.
Yeah, I was very, and I was just, in any time I was having those type of moments, it's, I'm not dealing with what I'm feeling internally, and it just, it carried over, it carried over, it carried over, and I never was able to pinpoint the issues and where did this come from, right? I'm a genuine person. I'm a caring person. I'm a loving person. But then there's another part of me that just like, I can go to a dark place, right? And I feel with that, out of all of the deaths that I experienced from a young age up into even now, I never dealt with death and understood the grieving process. So it was a lot of frustration. You're questioning God, like, why? What was that? Like, why did that happen to that person? Or why now, when I felt this was either a safety net, a comfort zone for me, all of those things, and it's like it's snatched away. So yeah, it turned me into a very, 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 and I look at it now on this side of it, it's like it's embarrassing, mm-hmm. right? It's ugly, it's nasty. And when God removes skeletons from your closet, He exposes you to what they look like. He makes you look them in their face and say, "This is who you were. You know, time to go." And that's a lot of how that started for me.
Woo, I'm just sitting here listening. Like, I'm hoping that everybody is catching this, because you said so much, and I'm trying to just go back to a lot of it. Is one, having an outlet like basketball or sports or anything mm-hmm. like that to help you, but the fact that you didn't have anyone really at the time to talk to about it, didn't really know how to process that, and then it sent you on this downward spiral internally, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. then that showed up as anger, mm-hmm. and it also showed up as, I guess at times it really was who you were, because it was who you were showing up as, but mm-hmm. then like for that to become skeletons, all because a lot of things stem from here, and we can't say it was solely these things, but that is a big thing to be, mm-hmm. How old were you when your uncle was murdered?
I was 10.
So 10 years old, you have this male figure in your life, this person that you look up to, you know, mm-hmm. you feel a connection with, and then they're murdered, and then you just kind of have to, like you said, life keeps going on. Mm-hmm. I think that gets overlooked a lot in a lot of people's lives and stories, because especially like in certain communities, it's just like a part of it. Like, of course, yeah, people mm-hmm. die, we go on, we go to the funeral, repast, we do all this, we keep it moving. Especially, I think, when you were raised in a church and you did grow up in those scenarios, for me anyway, I'll speak from my experience, a lot of it becomes more of a religious aspect. So it's like, well, yeah, this is a part of life. Mm-hmm. You know, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, like it's literally now more considered a celebration of life mm-hmm. and not so much a funeral. I don't know how much space that leaves for a young person at 10 to be able to grieve.
You're not seeing that. At the age of 10, it's still, my uncle's gone. Yeah. You know, you're not able to connect the dots and understand the spiritual meaning behind all of that. Like, right. It's just like, yo, they're gone. And what do you do? Right. Who are you talking to about this? And you have to understand his mother's grieving, his brother's grieving, his sister's grieving. My mother, right. Everyone in the family is grieving. So everyone grieves differently.
Sure.
Right. So how I had to grieve, I just suppressed it. I remember literally. I passed out once I first, like, literally just passed out. We laugh about it now, but, you know, that moment, like, I passed out.
Wow. So when you got the news that your uncle was murdered, you passed out.
I passed out. Literally, and I remember having to go view the body, and I said to my grandmother, I'm like, he's going to be cold, right? Like, he's going to be. So we all wore corduroys. Remember, you know, corduroys were navy blue corduroys. I still remember it to this day. I remember when my mom got the phone call. I remember it was on the news because they couldn't identify who he was. We had a tattoo on him, and they identified it by that. And it just, from there, I just started to become a different person. Yeah.
Man, I really got chills. I'm not lying. Like, I really just got chills because I just, oh my God, I just love so much that you're talking about this, mm-hmm. because I just don't think the change in who you are when you are faced with certain losses in your life gets enough light. And for you to be that young, mm-hmm. we're not going to skip ahead, but again, yeah. I'm sure you have players that have experienced similar things and you've been able to help them with that. But then like you become this like angry person, and I don't even know if I want to say angry person, because I don't know if that's fair.
No, I was angry, right? Yeah. And what I'm not, I mean, there are other things that were transpiring in my life around that time too. Like I found out I was adopted at 10. I just lost my uncle. At 11, turning 12, I was moved from Camden to Haddonfield, which is a culturally shock. Like, so when am I ever dealing with that first thing?
It's just, you found that you were adopted?
Yeah.
You were how old?
I was 10. I was 10 years old.
Oh, at the same.
It was just all.
How'd you find that out?
It was a conversation my mom and my sister's dad had with me. It was just, you know, they felt it was time for me to know. And from there, we talked about it. Life keeps moving, right?
So your sister's dad adopted you?
Yeah. My sister's dad adopted me.
But your mom is your
mom? My mom is my mom. Okay. Yeah.
So you sent in some real shock to me, too. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So you thought your sister's dad was
My biological father up until I was about 10 years old. Yep. Mm. Yep.
What'd that do?
Made me an angry person. What was the outlet? How are you supposed to process that?
Mm. Who were you able, like, I understand you said anger, like, where was your anger, like, just being powerless at your mom, at your dad?
I was angry at the whole family, both families, everybody, because everybody lied to me. Mm. Right? Like, you're believing this is a perfect family, this is this, and no, that's not that. And then on top of that, a person that I felt I was comfortable talking to about things, he's no longer here. So now I have to, you know, internally, mentally try to figure this out. And I was scatterbrained. So when you have stuff like that going on, it's kind of hard to process as a kid. You know what I mean? And I do know the start of that is one of the main reasons why I do what I do today. Because kids are battling stuff.
Yeah.
Like a lot of stuff. And in today's generation, it's even probably worse because everything's backwards from how we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
What's good is bad. What's bad is good. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
and everything is just broadcasted real time. Yeah, so that's terrible as well.
Yeah, so
that's a lot to navigate. And it makes sense. And I think the other thing too that's really important is because, again, me being on the outside looking in and just like knowing you as, you know, being a teenager and then being in college. And yeah, that is a part of your reputation. Like, man, he is like angry. I mean, just like really hard passes, like just a lot of different things that I actually forgot about until you just started talking about that. And I think it's just, again, one of those things where, like, we shouldn't judge people, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should be held accountable for your actions.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's an excuse for that.
Absolutely.
Please, I'm not making an excuse for your behavior. But I am giving room to the fact that, like, these things connect dots. So when you see people exemplify certain behaviors, like, maybe try to get to know them. If they will, right? Because it's on us, too, to let people in or not. But not to pass judgment. I remember actually one situation that happened when we were in college. You may or may not remember it.
No, but, I remember.
We were at a party.
I remember.
And a certain person there, and they called you the N-word. Mm-hmm. And I was just like holding you and just saying like you. I don't want you to lose everything that you worked. I can cry right now. Worked so hard for in this moment, but like you were really angry, and that could have transpired differently, and then it would have just been like, oh yeah, like he's the angry kid. Of course he went off on this guy, you know. But it's like
so. I'm never excusing. I stand on anything that I did.
I don't think so. I think you're taking a lot of accountability.
So I moved from Camden.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up fighting. I didn't have older brothers, so I had to fight a lot, right? I moved from Camden to Haddonfield. I'm only one of five black kids in the whole school. I experienced a lot of racism.
Mm-hmm.
So getting called the N-word just triggers, right? Like, what I'm learning now on this side of growth is what those triggers are. How to respond to those triggers, how to navigate those triggers, and how to pull back and understand, like, hey, you do not have to respond in a certain light anymore.
Mm.
Right? Give yourself the peace.
Ooh.
Give yourself, like, because whatever you're saying, you're looking to get a reaction out of me.
Mm-hmm.
No one now can have that reaction to who I'm supposed to be other than who I know I'm supposed to be at this point, you know? So, you called me out my name, and grew up fighting. I'm already, you know, it's like, all right, well, listen, this is very familiar for me.
Right.
And
right.
not having the mind and the mentality that I have today, I'm on go. Yeah. I was always on go,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it took until I met my wife for me to start to see life was different, because I only knew one way. I was very, I would say, self-centered, because I could only see life through my perspective. I was not able to connect and see how you seen life. I only seen it through my own eyes, because I still never unpacked all of the things that I have internally going on.
And let's talk about that, because how long ago has it been that you met your wife? Just a few years, right?
We've been together for five. We going on 3 years being married.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about from you being 10
to
in your
30s. Yeah, long time.
That is a long time.
Long time.
Give yourself peace.
Yep. Yep.
That is crazy that a lot of times we don't realize that we're also being a part of our own torment,
mm-hmm.
because we're not giving ourselves that peace. But mm-hmm. so I just want to kind of go back to that part too. Like, you went through everything, you lost your uncle, then you found out about being adopted at the same time, you know, dealing with all these things, going to the school. And then I know that your grandfather was someone that you, mm-hmm. well, I don't know, but it seems I know that your grandfather was someone that really meant, you know, a really great deal to you as well. Like, how,
excuse me.
Yeah, how was that too? Like, just having to navigate.
How can I put this? So, my grandfather passed away when I was in my 20s. My grandmother passed away before my grandfather did. My grandmother passed away my senior year going into high school.
Mm.
Again, I used basketball to deal with it. I never really talked about it too much and how that really made me feel.
Mm.
Obviously, everyone's going to be upset, but I never talked about how it made me feel.
Mm.
My grandfather pretty much was the man that fathered me.
Yeah, that's really what I should have said.
Yeah, my grandfather was the man that really fathered me and laid the foundations of how to be a man, what a man is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I lost him, and this is in my mid-20s, and I had another severe death to me when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can talk about my grandfather, but if we go back another
layer, let's go.
I didn't handle that one well with my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's husband passed away. I was 18 years old. This is when I was in college, JUCO. He was placed on hospice. So while in college, I had to get a job because he's no longer working. He's pretty much dying. And you're waiting for that phone call every day. Did he pass away? Did he not? And this is my sophomore year of college. And you're helping take care of this person throughout the night, during the day, still balancing school, still balancing work. What would that do to anybody?
Yeah.
What, like, I'm just trying to make it make sense to me. It's like, was I bugging? Was I internalizing too much? Or am I really in a storm financially? We were going through a financial because we don't have the extra income.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get through school. I'm trying to, I guess, be successful in a sport. It was made me more angry. And I remember a time my college coach sat me down. It's like, what is wrong with you? No one knew I was dealing with that. He didn't know that I'm going home after practice to go change beds and change diapers. And right. Because at this time, like, there's nothing else he can do. The nurses are only there from a certain period of time. So me and my mom used to take shifts so she can get rest to go to work and I would be up. Right. Like, it's kind of wild. So, and I've never talked to people about this. I've never, like, and this is prior to coming to Rowan.
Yeah.
So me coming to Rowan is right after this.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to come to Rowan because I didn't want to go too far from my sister and my mother,
mm-hmm.
and leave them by themselves. So I decided to go to Rowan. And then I still have pent up emotions and frustrations and questions. And yeah, so you go through that. Got through Rowan. Obviously, we've seen some of the explosions that I may have had. Again, I'm not excusing anything. I stand on everything that I've done, I've said, whatever. But when you don't know how to grieve, and then there's no time limit on grieving.
Sure.
There's no, okay, you got to grieve this much. There's none of that. You got to go through every emotion. You got to live with it. You got to accept it and just, I guess, put your best foot forward. But yeah, like that was a blow. Like, that was probably one of the hardest things that I had to do, is watch someone die. I watched my stepfather take his last breath. I watched that. You know what I mean? I watched my grandfather take his last breath. because he had all girls. My grandfather had girls, so I'm the patriarch of the family now, and I'm the male, so I have to balance their emotions. Like, I planned the whole funeral. I didn't have time to really, you know, I contemplated suicide after my grandfather. Wow. I did. I really did. And I don't think I ever said, I can't believe I just said that out loud, but I did, because for me, it's like, here's another male figure that leaves or is gone, and it's left for me to figure out, you know? So like that, yeah, I can't believe I just said that out loud, but yeah.
It's okay. We can edit it.
No, you're good.
I want to be respectful of that.
No, you're good. Because I'm not the only person that may go through that. So my story is my story. There's no pauses in it. That's the truth. That's what I was going through. You know, and at that time, man, it was two kids that were very, very special to me that shared some of the greatest words that I still remember to this day to help me get through
like
that
time.
They were two players. Yeah, mm-hmm. Two players. And people don't understand, I don't do it for basketball. I don't do it to attach to kids and say, oh, I work with this kid. I don't do that. I would never exploit who they are. But just as people, mm-hmm. they're great people. And they don't even probably know the impact that they had in that moment. But no, they're great people.
Yeah, no, that's super important. I mean, mm-hmm. you're being extremely transparent. And I just, again, was saying that just out of respect, because we normally don't, I haven't cut anything out really of any conversation, but that is really, really, really vulnerable mm-hmm. to share that, because that's a real powerless moment to mm-hmm. be in. I'm glad that you didn't, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, I think at the time of recording today is National Semicolon Day, mm-hmm. which is about that, putting that semicolon in your story mm-hmm. and not ending it, right? And mm-hmm. like, today is better because you're here.
Yeah.
And so thank you for not making that decision. Yeah. I'm so grateful to God that he kept you during that, because there's so much that you're going through, and I'm learning so much too. So mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, it's kind of like, it's weird. It's like you're reading someone's story in real time in mm-hmm. front of their face. Mm-hmm. So it's like, know, it's a lot of things.
Just don't cry. You're going to make me cry.
I was getting there. I started like looking at the table. I probably never did that before. I just started looking around. But, you know, it's when you feel someone's story, and that's why we have these conversations, is because it's super, super important to really look at that and peel back who someone was, is, and how they were able to get through that. It seems like you really like faced to face with a lot of skeletons.
Yeah.
Would you, or have you extended any apologies to anyone along your journey for like who you were at that time in their lives?
Absolutely. When I come across people that I felt, you know, hurt people.
Sure.
And when I have a moment, and I it can be random. I can see you in a grocery store and I can say, hey, man, I remember this happened. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And most time people are like, oh, it's all right. But I'm just like, no, it wasn't acceptable. It wasn't who I was supposed to be in that moment. But I was, and I stand on that, and I apologize. Right. Like, I don't even want to say sorry, because my mom always raised me and told me that you're not sorry. Just apologize. Right. Like, no person's really sorry. You don't want to be a sorry person, mm-hmm. right? So just be accountable for who you are. And yeah, so I definitely apologize. If I have the moment to, because I know I've rubbed people the wrong way. I've pushed people away. I've hurt people based out of being hurt. So yeah, Jay, like, I want to say it happens, but mm-hmm. you know, it happened. You know, and I can't go back and take it away. All I can do is be accountable for it. Like, mm-hmm. accountability is a big thing to me, right? Just a huge thing to me. Mm-hmm.
So you had bad, thank you for that. And I hope that people, if you watch this and you feel like Alan did you wrong, this is a universal apology. So you had basketball as like an outlet mm-hmm. to help you through this. Did anything else? Because a lot of times we have it, like, for me, like, drinking was a big issue that I had to deal with and battle with, just because of so much that I went through in my life as well. I didn't realize at the time that it was all connected, but I do that now. Mm-hmm. Was there any other like vice or thing that you went to that wasn't positive?
You got to think everything, right? Mm-hmm. You start to see in life when you're running from it instead of sitting with it, right? Like, you have to sit with those skeletons. You got to sit with those demons, address them toe to toe. And don't let them overcome you. So yeah, you try everything to try to escape it, right? You can't drink it away. You can't sex it away. You can't smoke it away. You can't just act like it never happened, right? Like, so those are some things that you go through as a person that you have to learn from. And for it, it just gives you a better story. It makes you a better person when you understand, like, again, from this side of it, look, if I have to look at who I was and I say I'm just not me, I'm looking at who I was, like, I'm ashamed of that. At the same time, I'm blessed from it too, because it helped me grow to be who I am today, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. I mean, and see, this is the crazy thing too, is that a lot of times we hear that, like, shame keeps us silent. And so now for you to be able to, like, address that, like, there was shame, there was embarrassment, yeah, but I'm also blessed from it because you made a decision. I think a lot of times we just hide behind excuses like, oh, this is the way I was brought up, or like, this is what I experienced, this is what I went through, and it's just who I am. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, yeah, sure, that was a part of it, but what mm-hmm. do you do now? Like, stop making those excuses. If you don't want to be the angry person and everyone is like, oh my God, like, don't get him upset, don't mm-hmm. do this or yeah. whatever, like, you don't want to be that. I've had to face things in my personality about that too. And I think it's so crazy because people who have never experienced that version of you, let's just say, it would be like if they watch this, it'll be like, what? Like, mm-hmm. cause you, and that's mm-hmm. how I get sometimes where people are like, I could never imagine you drunk, or I can never mm-hmm. imagine you being like, I'm like, yeah, it's been 15 years since mm-hmm. I've had a drink, but there were versions of me that mm-hmm. I'm not proud of either. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of shame. So going back to the point where you said up until your wife, things were really able to change. What about this special lady? Like, what was the, how did that happen? Cause I mean,
it's just different.
Okay.
Like, energy never lies. She challenged me in a way that I never was challenged before. And as a man, I feel every man knows that when they find their wife, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you're going to make me better. I don't have a choice but to be better to keep you in my life. And I don't want to miss this boat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me get myself together. Let me start to do the work, because you have to do the work. Mm. Like, part of growth is understanding where work is. Do that work, and then on the outside of that, when you come outside of it, it's like, okay, I've grown. You spend a lot of time crying to yourself too, right? For me, spent a lot of time crying to myself, and then understanding the emotions behind that and what they come from, and having her help me sort out the pieces and figure it out, right? Like, one thing she would never do is put it together for me, but she'll identify, like, hey, this is what that is. Now, if I ignore it and I don't have any accountability, it's gonna affect my marriage now, mm-hmm. you know. So you don't want to pour negativity into something that's meant to be beautiful and something that's meant to be a blessing to you. You know,
did you have to ask her for patience? Like, okay, sure, you identified this.
That's who she is.
And I, okay, so
she's just a soft soul, beautiful okay. spirit, like. I don't know how she put up with me, right? Like, yeah. it's that's how I knew, okay, this is the woman I'm supposed to marry. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready to be married. Mm-hmm. Like, I told her that. I'm like, I'm glad you chose me before I chose you. Because
let's unpack that. What's that mean?
Meaning, she's seen the greater good in me even when I felt that I'm not supposed to be here. And you can use that in so many other walks of life and aspects of life where it's like, God is asking you to be a person and I feel unworthy, or I feel I'm not ready to be, but it's like, no, you have to be. And when you can't run from the have to be, here you are. So yeah, that's what my wife has done for me. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, no, listen, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I think being able to have someone that sees it, and even if that's just like in your friendships or even in your children, like, certain things can bring that out of you, but I feel like only if you really, like, want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, now that you've been on here, we've been in our conversation for a little bit of time now, like, what is, you said some things that you've said to me you haven't really talked about or you haven't mm-hmm. said out loud. Like, what does that feel like right now?
I feel like something just jumped out my body. Mm-hmm. Literally, it was just like, I just said that out loud. Like, that is one of those things, right? And it's, thank you. You have a beautiful platform to be able to discuss certain things. More people need an outlet to be able to express what they're holding on to so tight. And it's, you can see, like, I think anybody with any type of sense can see that I was battling things for a long time, because it's some of the ways I would respond are triggers that I never dealt with, or I didn't even know was a trigger, or just, right. You have to be able to do that. So if that makes any sense, like, yeah, it just mm-hmm. feels like something jumped out of me when I expressed that, and it just flowed out too. It wasn't like I wanted to.
That's definitely good to hear. I'm thinking too, like, just, I mean, as we kind of start to wrap it up a little bit, do you think that, like, so the power of conversation, the reason I'm asking you that is that if someone back when you were 10 or 11 would have had a conversation with you similar to this, like, hey, listen, buddy, like, how are you feeling? You've dealt with this. You know, you've lost your uncle. Now you found out that you were adopted. You have all these things. Like, what does support look like right now? Like, what are you going through right now? Do you think that the power of a conversation would have been able to change the trajectory of your life?
No.
Okay.
Because I feel God makes no mistakes. Mm. It all happened because it was supposed to happen. It all happened because what I'm doing in life right now makes it all make sense. I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't go back and say, God, I wish I didn't go through this. I wish I didn't go through that. It brings it full circle, you know? So a conversation happening then, that's almost like me wishing I was 6 foot or 6'3" and I could have, right? Like that.
I've wished that before about myself.
Yeah, but you take it and you run with it, you know? That's how that goes.
So we've got a young Allen. He's now on your team. He's at part of A1 basketball, mm-hmm. and he's there and he's telling you what he's going through. He's 11, 10 years old. What are you saying to him from the vantage point of what you know now?
My one-on-one conversations with players is very special because I'm able to penetrate something that they're unable to express to other people. I'm able to get them to open up, identify, because I tell my hey, you have to sit with that. That's what is that? Why are you responding that way? Why are you feeling that way? What is that? So that's more so what I would do for a younger version of me is I would just push you to see what that accountability factor is needed in that situation. And you continue to coach them through it. And then every time you see them, you hold them to that standard, right? Like, and once you talk about it, you have to ask, what is it you want to be? What is it you want to do? What is it you want to become? And my favorite go-to quote with the kids and people is, be committed to the commitment you made with yourself. If you've made a commitment that you wanted to grow, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's not supposed to be comfortable. That's the point of growth. But once you do that, you just hold them to that standard.
Listen, that's a beautiful thing. And it's been a powerful conversation, like definitely by far one of the most impactful, powerful conversations I've had. It just was like so open just to really see you in that light. Mm-hmm. If you had to choose a color for your grief, what would it be and why?
Blue. Blue. Because water, it's blue. Blue sky, blue water. Always possibilities to be able to travel and go see, because with blue, there's no real end point to it. It just keeps going. Keeps going for me. Blue.
I love it. Water, everything flows. And yeah. I just want to make sure too, if you wanted to have a moment to just say anything about your grandfather, we didn't touch too much on it, but just like anything.
You're trying to make me cry.
No, I'm just saying, because you know what's crazy is I think, was that in 2016?
I want to say it was. I'm not too sure.
The only reason why I'm saying is because we crossed paths at Cooper Hospital. And actually at that time, yeah, so my grandmother died in 2016 My dad was in a hospital there. She was in a hospital at Kennedy. And I remember being like, that's pretty crazy that like our grandparents are dying right now at this time. Yeah. And so that's the only reason why I remember that potentially, if I'm right.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to give you space for that.
I would say no. I felt like I had my my final conversation with him, because, you know, we had a very heart to heart talk right before his surgery. And after the surgery, he just never came out of it. I would say I wouldn't wish that experience on anybody. Right. It's hard watching someone take their last breath. Mm-hmm. Like that's like it's nothing you can do. You're powerless. It's no way you can. What can you do? So for me, I don't really have too many words that I would want to speak on, like, because you're not going to get me to cry.
I'm not, but you think he'd be proud of you?
I would hope so. I wrestle with that thought all the time. That is something I can say. I wrestle with the thought of, am I living up to the standard of what we discussed? Because everything has a standard to it. How do you not live life with a standard, you know? So I would hope he is. Mm-hmm. I would hope that I'm putting my best foot forward. I've been on a hiatus from my family for some time, and I feel guilty for that.
Have been right now?
Absolutely. I mean, I just came back around my family probably. What was the last holiday this past? Easter.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I got it. I got it bad. I got chewed out. Pause. If that's
we just gotta say anything now, right? Yeah. But I mean, like, what do you mean? You wish needed a break?
It's heavy is the head that wears the crown is always like something that I say. It's when you're called to be a person that, and you, it's a walk with God when you know you're the one that has to break the generational curses. You're the one that has to live up to the standard of why you're here. And you got to go on your journey, right? Like everyone has a journey that they have to fulfill. Mm-hmm. And if that requires me not being present and being away, like I just got to do what I have to do. It's not personal. You know what I mean? At the same time, I don't want anyone to feel like I'm abandoning them and neglecting either. Right. I can't help a person if I can't help myself.
Right.
So, yeah, that's that.
Listen, well, I don't know what version you were at the time of your grandfather's transition, but I'm proud of the work that you've done. Yeah. And it's really, really, really cool to see this like version of yourself, because I had no idea that you've done so much work to become a better version of yourself. And never did I think that you were like a bad person. I mean, I think I'm just a person that always knows that we all just go through a lot and you just want the best for people and don't want to see people be in their own way of their greatness.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you've been able to get out of your way and just be like your true authentic self. And listen, it's a journey, right? Because even things that I've gotten through, you still get tested. Mm-hmm. You still get faced with those. And it's like, okay, are you going to show up as that version of yourself? You know, I feel like I kind of came short of a test of that recently, and I had to give myself grace. Like you said, give yourself peace. And it's like, you know, I worked on a lot of things. Okay, this one scenario trigger me, how I reacted. I was not happy. I was not proud of it. It was like a big explosion with my neighbor. But it was just like later I thought about it, I was like, ah, I've seen that. I know that person and I don't like that version. So like then I said to myself, well, before this, when's the last time that you've seen that side of yourself? And it was like, no, it's actually been a really long time. Mm-hmm. So I say that to say that we can work on ourselves and we should work on ourselves for ourselves and the people around us as well. Mm-hmm. If and when you fall short, pick yourself back up. That's not a definition of who you are. It's just a moment in time.
My prayer is always to identify what those triggers are immediately.
I call my therapist.
I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I don't make mistakes, but I identify with it a lot quicker and it doesn't become a spiral. Mm. Right. Pastor Daniels, I don't know if you're familiar with him. Pastor Daniels. Mm-hmm. I was listening to something he was preaching about, and he was talking about David becoming king and why it took so long for David to become who he was because David's problem was, and something that I feel like I resonate with, is someone throws a spear at you, I'm throwing 10 back. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to be in a space where something's happened to you where you're like, you know what, I'm going to just weave that. I'm going to ignore that and not turn back into that trigger, because that's what it is you really, and I still may have a moment, but it's like, you know what, I'm wrong for that. My bad. And it's not, I don't have to wait 10 years or do a podcast to say, I apologize,
It's like, it's real.
You know, I'm wrong. I accept that. I'll do better. And that's all you can ask for yourself, right? Like, give yourself the peace, because the more, what I've learned is the more you carry it around, the more it's going to tear you apart.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself the peace.
Give yourself the peace. I think he's in a series right now about triggers and red flags all that stuff like that. So we're talking about Darius Daniels, if you don't know. So definitely like tune into him. He's always awesome. Online. He's phenomenal. I've been with them for so long during the pandemic. So in person, I've been like once or twice since the pandemic happened. But I do belong to that church. And so, check them out if you haven't already. Listen, it's been a powerful conversation. I'm super appreciative. Before we get out of here, though, I do want to make sure everyone knows where they can connect with you, especially if you're in the South Jersey area or anywhere you want to travel, Philly, wherever, to Delaware even, too, to have your children trained by a person that not only is phenomenal at the sport, not only is he a master of the game and understanding what he's doing, but someone who genuinely cares about your child, their development on and off the court, then you definitely want to have them connected with A1. So let them know where they can find you.
You can find me at www.a1-basketball.com. Social media _A1Basketball, coach_A1. Look us up.
I mean, listen, they got AAU teams. They're doing trainings. They're doing everything. And I fully support it and stand by them. And yeah, go follow him and drop us some comments. Let us know what you thought about the conversation. We do tune into our episodes and our conversations every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So check out those episodes each and every week. And guys, if you're not following me already, what the heck are you doing? Go over to Instagram and do it right now at @I_AM_JNicole. Guys, until next time, you already know. Love and light. Peace.